Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I know it is a Monday night. Here we are. I'm a little late, but here we are. getting into the swing of things. I think we're going to up the ante a little bit and go to having three shows a week instead of just two. And of course, the Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris on Thursday nights. Doing just an hour-long show, but figured we'll knock out at least three a week, and we got a lot of things that we're working on and shaping around. So looking forward to jumping into this one. I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus, phenomenal partnership with those guys. Make sure you guys check them out on Facebook, Carolina Sports Plus. You can also go to our site and click their banner, and it'll shoot you on over there. I've gotten got a lot of great things from those guys over there, and great quality, great price stuff. So make sure you guys check them out for all your. All your sporting needs. So I also want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook as well, Fit for Life. Or you can go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com, and click their banner. Take you on over there. Hook you up 24/7, 365. Get your gym on. Clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you could possibly need or want. So, make sure you guys check them out. We got Game 5, the NBA Finals playing. Looking forward to a great game. This is not how the series. Not how I thought this series was going to play out. We got our new intern. We got Mike McGinnis joining us here in about 7 minutes or so. Looking forward to having him on. He has written some articles for us over there on our site. If you guys have not checked them out, I know I got some things to do over there. And I am going to be working on taking care of that and getting things situated as for some reason there's been some things bumped off there. But NBA Finals Game 4, what the hell is going on, was the latest article that he wrote. Of course, Kyrie isn't Batman. He's the Robin we don't really like. We're going to get his thoughts and opinions on where and what he was going with that, so I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. Of course, NHL played last night, Game 6, the Stanley Cup Finals, and like I said, we got Game 5, as we're going to be jumping into that, so we got some other topics we're looking forward to getting into tonight. Glad to have him on board, and we're going to get an opportunity to meet Mike. I got an opportunity. As a matter of fact, like I was talking to him earlier, because during the studio, most of the time we have people call in. I don't really ever think about someone being local. And Mike is actually local to where I'm at right now currently. And he was talking about getting things together and shooting on over. And I was like, I didn't have the studio set up. And didn't even think about the fact that he could actually sit over here in the studio, just doesn't have an office. So I didn't even think about it. I was like, damn, I didn't even think about the fact that it was the first time Mike and I met. We actually sat down and they had about an hour-long conversation. Moving forward, I will have things set up, and Mike will actually come over and join me in the studio here. But he'll be calling in tonight here in a little bit, so looking forward to that. I know something else I wanted to say before, and I got sidetracked on what I was thinking. Long weekend. Trying to get things situated, trying to get life situated, and trying to be able to do more things. Part of why I'm doing what I'm doing is try to be able to do more things here for the 110 Nation and be able to invest a little bit more financially into getting us back in the right direction. And so this weekend I actually kicked off my first last week. But this weekend, I actually kicked off my first week of three jobs again. So it was an interesting weekend. Physically, it was not what I expected. But from all those that have listened to the show for a while and know me and know my work ethics and know my drive, I'm going to suck it up and drive on. But it was definitely a long weekend. Mike was messaging me earlier today, and we were trying to get things together. And one of the topics that he talked about I was like, holy cow, I did not know. But obviously, I need some TVs at work. So, it's been a long week. It's Wednesday night when Izzo and I got out of the show. Thursday, we unfortunately had someone OD in the bathroom. So had to deal with that. Unfortunately, my assistant, for those that know me, Miss DJ, she was the one that found him. She opened the door and there was a body against the door. And as luckily for him, she opened the door slowly and did not allow him to just hit the ground and his head bounce off the ground. For me personally, I'm the type that I kind of yank the door open, especially when people lock themselves or lock the door. It gets to be an aggravating thing when there is a note on the door, a big sign on the door. And I knew one of the things that I would have been aggravated in the middle of a rush, have to go unlock the door because I would have assumed that someone just left the door locked because people can't read. Versus someone being up against the door, OD with a heroin needle sticking in their leg and another one on their other arm. I would have just yanked the door open, just assuming nobody was in there, and they would have bounced off the crowd. But it was an interesting Thursday, needless to say, and that led to me giving her off Friday to come back to work today, and 30 minutes into her shift, somebody goes to pay for the stuff, turns around, and as they walk away, they pass out and fall right into the 12-pack display and took it out. Then they come to, and instead of laying there or sitting there like, she instructed them to, he decided to try to get up and passes out again, falls right back into the display. So been a rough couple of days at work as well. So tell you what, Lord have mercy. Looking forward to what, 2 weeks away. Get to go to my first Cleveland Indians game. I want to thank high school buddy, one of the few friends from high school that I've actually kept up with and has kept up with me. He went ahead and purchased, he called me up and was, hey, if do you want to go to a Cincinnati Reds game? Well, you know, I'm not a Reds fan, you know. You know, from Ohio, I'm a Cleveland fan. But, sure, I'll go. You know, a baseball game is a baseball game. You know, CJ's always down for some sports. And I was like, look, these are the days that I'll be in town already. If we can situate it to be one of those, that would be great. If not, you know, I'll make a trip. And not only did he make it happen when I was going to be in town already, it happens to be playing, the Reds happen to be playing my Cleveland Indians. So win-win situation. So looking forward to that. And then I think this is the last time, I don't know if we talked about this the last time we was on the show, but thanks to the girl in my life, while we was at the Dayton Dragons game when I was up last week, she went ahead and purchased Cincinnati Bengals Cleveland Browns tickets for her and I to go to. She used to be a Browns fan before they moved. She kind of adopted and became an Oakland Raiders fan, thanks to the guy she was married to at the time. And kind of, I don't know, from conversation, kind of not a diehard, could pull for the Browns kind of person. So once, you know, heart belonged to the Browns, and you bought Browns tickets, so we'll see how that goes. But looking forward to watching the watching my Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals play again this year. Of course, last year that was the Christmas present to my son and myself from my mom, and you know, for all those that know my family in Cincinnati all the way, except for my son and I, we Cleveland, so it was a fun game for us. So I'm hoping that, because it is in Cincinnati, because it's like a 45-minute, maybe an hour drive to the Cincinnati Stadium versus a long haul to Cleveland, then it was a gift, so I'll take wherever. I don't really care. I just hope that my Cleveland Browns do their thing again this year, and we get to get the chance, way to go Brownies all the way out again this year as well. I'm definitely looking forward to this season and an opportunity to watch the Cleveland Browns. It's been a long time since I've been this excited and looking forward to. Toronto won a 9-0 run. Toronto has taken the lead 21-19 with about 4.5 minutes left in the first in Toronto, with the opportunity for Toronto to win their first ever NBA Finals. Of course, Kevin Durant's back on the court and playing tonight, so looks like limited time because he's already off the courts without hearing what exactly is going on with it being muted. So we'll have more to tell him as this game continues on. So looking forward to, I can imagine this is going to be one hell of a game tonight. Like I said, I was not expecting, and for those that have listened to prior shows, I've not kept up with the finals as much as previous years. I mean, obviously one reason is my Cavaliers, where it was nowhere, you know, to be in. But even other years, you know, I have kept up with the playoffs, and I've kept up with, you know, especially the NBA Finals. And this was one of those years that the only thing that I was really interested in was watching the Golden State Warriors beat Houston. As much as I really don't like the Golden State Warriors, with the of course with the them and Cleveland battling the last what 3-4 years, I'm very anti James Harden. Damn. I don't know, the flop, the way the rules are manipulated, like I'm just not a fan of it. And as much as I don't like Golden State, I did not want to see Houston win. I do not want Houston to have the opportunity to win a championship with James Harden on that roster. So that was really the only series I thought was going to be close throughout the playoffs, and then really the only one I had any interest. And then to watch, that was clearly a foul. I really expected Golden State to just kind of go into this and kind of sweep this. I don't know, maybe 4-1, but maybe a sweep. And so to see Toronto up 3-1, I understand that injuries have played a lot into this. I believe this is Kevin Durant's first game back in the finals, if I'm not mistaken. I know Thompson's been out. I know that they have suffered a lot of injuries. I still didn't expect it to be where it's at, knowing that at home court, there's a good possibility that Toronto could walk away and win this series 4-1, which I thought it was going to go the other way. So for it to be where it's at, wow. So crazy to me. Don't forget, tomorrow night, show kicks off 9 o'clock. Izzo will be joining the studio 9:30. Look for him to, of course, get you guys caught up on all the latest going on in the NHL, in the Stanley Cup Finals, and everything else NHL, to include as we get ready for the NHL draft and free agency and the offseason as well. So looking forward to having Izzo on Wednesday night. I will be in the studio by myself, as far as I know, at this point. And, of course, get you guys caught up on all the latest going on around the sports world. And looking forward to Thursday nights. Hopefully, I ain't talked to the guys. I'm not sure what happened last week. But hopefully we get them in the studio Thursday night. And we recap Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. And get you guys ready for the upcoming weekend. And as far as we're getting closer and closer to playoff time for for NASCAR as well. Got Mike in the studio, so I'm going to go ahead and get him in here and give you guys an opportunity to meet the newest addition to the 110 Nation. Like I said, if you guys have not checked out the site, go over to www.the110nationsports.com. Check out his latest articles. We got Kyrie Isn't Batman. He's the Robin we don't really like. NBA Finals Game 4, what the hell is going on? We're going to take some time and get to know Mike, know about, a little bit about his background, let you guys get an opportunity to meet him, let him kind of let you guys know a little bit about, without spilling all the beans, on what he was talking about in his pieces here. So you guys got an opportunity to know what you need to go over and catch, and we got some things to talk about sports-wise. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and get him in the studio. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Like I told them, this is not where I thought the NBA Finals would be at. I thought, injuries is always something that kind of determines things. But honestly, I thought it was going to be the other way. Like I kind of blocked out. The only thing I really cared, as much as I don't like Golden State, I dislike, and we had this conversation, we sat down, I dislike James Harden and the Rockets even more. That was the only series I thought was going to be a legit series. And lo and behold, here we are 3-1, and Toronto could win this at home. Looking forward to a hell of a game tonight. I can only imagine how this is going to turn out. Before we jump into all this.
Oh, I was going to say, I think KD is going to put up a valiant effort, but I just don't see Toronto losing this game. You know, it's just
– I don't either. It's
just crazy how this whole series has unfolded, because Toronto has out Golden State the entire series.
Yes.
You know, running them into the ground, timely outside shots, and then Kawhi is just playing out of his mind basketball right now.
And it's also crazy how this kind of changes everything. What once was a conversation of, well, Kawhi's going to be here for 1 year, then go out west. That's where he wants to be. You know, like we've talked earlier today, or we talked yesterday, and the rumors that are going around, Kawhi's looking to buy some property, might not be going anywhere. And does this mean KD is definitely leaving? Like, because I was one of those that looked, I'm not saying it wasn't going to happen, it was a good possibility, but I'm like, you ride this until it's done. Like, there's no sense of leaving Golden State until you have a reason to leave Golden State. Now, is this meaning this is the reason to leave? Like, you had a team that nobody expected out, well, up north, to down you guys, and especially in the fashion it looked like they're doing. But let's hold all this for a second. I want an opportunity for the listeners to get to know you. One, I want them to get an opportunity, any social media-wise that you have that the fans could catch up with you, talk sports, anything else, if it be on Twitter, Facebook, anything that you use that you want to pass out, please go ahead and do. Also, kind of go a little bit into your background. You have a very interesting background in things that you have done and things you've been part of before we jump in. That way they kind of know a little bit about you and your history with sports writing and everything else.
Okay, well, I spent 16 years in the military as an infantryman. So I spent a little time overseas. You know, and then when I got out, I went to UNC Pembroke, where I'm working on 2 degrees, one in history and one in journalism. And I really wanted to pursue the route of being a war correspondent, but honestly, there's more opportunity in writing sports, especially now. You know, it's, you know, getting into, like, or, you know, where you're starting right now, we can start that ourselves at the ground level, because there's a market for things that aren't related to, like, Fox Sports 1 and ESPN and, you know, if you're looking at Europe, like the BBC or Sky Sports or something like that, you know. So, I mean, I enjoy writing, and especially when I don't really have a word count, which is really nice. Because, I mean, you look at a lot of your articles on ESPN.com, like these things are 200-300 words. They throw some stats in there real quick, and then, you know, that's about all she wrote. You know,
yeah.
And then you have these opinion pieces where literally they let Stephen A. Smith get behind a keyboard and he's telling everybody, oh, I know for a fact, you know, KD's going to New York. He's going to be a Knick. And, like, we don't even know what's going to happen come July 1st until, you know, they sign on the dotted line. So, but, you know, I love basketball, football, baseball are my big ones, rugby. And when I say football, I mean all football, you know, the CFL, the NFL. The unfortunate demise of the AAF is something I'm really interested in. You know, so, I mean, it's I just really enjoy our big, you know, the big ones in the United States. And, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm not the biggest NASCAR fan. I really don't like golf either, so...
Well, luckily for you, the guys on Thursday night got that covered. I'm a big NASCAR guy, but I let them kind of steer away from that on my shows because we got a whole show dedicated to that. So, fortunately for us, we got that all covered, so we ain't got to jump into that too much. You did write a couple articles already. I people ask me all the time. And I think I brought this up when we sat and talked, you know, they like to get into the LeBron conversation with me, and I'm like, look, I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. So once you leave my team, I don't really, you know, I just care about my Indians, my Cavaliers, my Browns, my Blue Jackets, my Buckeyes, and that's it. But, yes, He's the Robin that we really don't like. Kind of let them know, give them a little bit of preview of what that is about, and also game four, what the hell is going on, to kind of let them know why and what they need to go over and check out over on the site.
Well, the article about Kyrie was essentially I compared him to the Jason Todd Robin. The Robin that in the 80s DC Comics did a call-in poll whether to let Jason Todd live or die, and the fans overwhelmingly voted to kill him. So he's essentially been the most least-liked Robin throughout, you know, Batman's almost 80 years of publication. And honestly, Kyrie is a Robin. He's never going to be a Batman. And he's not very well-liked.
No.
You know, and you look at how he exited Cleveland by forcing a trade, especially coming off that championship year where he was so pivotal, you know, during that stretch run, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he forces his way to Boston, and then, you know, people saw this young team, you know, adding Kyrie was just going to put them over the top. And then, you know, Boston played lights out without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. You know, they were a much better team without either of them on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, he's – you know, and then you when you look at the other articles that other sports journalists have written about him, like, they're he's a name. And people – you know, there's going to be teams out there. You know, like, right now the Knicks and the Nets are the two big ones.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's just – he's not somebody you build a team around. And I don't – I think GMs are kind of getting hip to that now. This isn't a guy that I can – just sign and immediately plug in, and we're going to be, you know, top three teams in that conference, you know, heading into playoffs and things like that. He's a guy you have to couple up with a much better, you know, one, you know, that Batman. And even then, you're probably still not going to like what he does. Like, we're both Cavs fans, and that guy dribbled too much. He played turnstile defense. He was maddening to watch, but when he was on, it was something else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then in, you know, game four, what the hell, like, nobody really saw, you know, the NBA Finals unfolding like this.
No.
And like you said before, you know, those injuries do pile up, but I think we're starting to see that Golden State is nowhere near as deep a team as they were, you know, 2015, 2016, 2017. You know, they're just missing a lot of depth. It's a very top-heavy team. You know, and you look at those first two Finals where they play the Cavs, like, they were bringing in guys off the bench. Like, Bogut was his first round, you know, his first go round with the Warriors. You know, he was dropping in 8 to 10 points every game, you know, 6 to 8 rebounds a game, and he was only getting 12-15 minutes off the bench. You know, Iguodala was a huge presence off the bench, and he's probably started more in this final than he did.
Didn't he win MVP even coming off the bench? Didn't he win MVP the first year?
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's but the thing is, he started more games because of the injuries. But, like, you don't – like, the Harrison Barnes isn't there. You know, instead we get this young man named, you know, Cooks. And last game, Toronto literally did not put a man on him when he was 14, 15 feet and out because they knew he wasn't going to hit the shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a fan, you can watch it on TV, see it come off his hand and just know that's not going in. And Toronto literally put nobody on him. You know, they would just love to take those shots, you know, and watching Toronto literally, like I said, you know, out Golden State this entire series with, you know, the running gun, making that extra pass. They're playing tight man-to-man defense, so these guys aren't getting space to take clear shots or being able to pass out to somebody else so they can have a clear shot. You know, I think it's I don't want to say it's the end of the dynasty, so to speak, but Golden State's got a lot of retooling they need to do to kind of get back on the right track.
Most definitely agree. You know, this once was a team, especially when we heard the Marcus Cousins was joining this team, everybody thought, oh, damn, you know, they might set a new record and wins, and this was – and then here we are – we're in game five and they're down 3-1, and this is not what we all imagined how this was going to play. Let's say we erase some of these injuries. Let's do the what if just for a second. What if Kevin Durant wasn't hurt? What if Klay Thompson wasn't hurt? What if DeMarcus Cousins wasn't, you know, through the injuries he's had the latter part of the season and the playoffs especially? Do you think that Toronto, would this be a series still at this point? I mean, it's not really a series. They're up 3-1. I don't even really want to call this a series. But do you think it would be a series, or we erase the injuries? Do you think that Golden State handles business like we've been used to?
I mean, Boogie hasn't been a factor for Golden State whatsoever. You know, during the regular season, he barely played up until, I think, after the All-Star break. And then he only showed up for a couple games. You know, as far as a playoff presence, Boogie hasn't done anything. You know, but, like, having KD at 100% honestly would have – I mean, it would have changed something, because at that point you can't have Kawhi covering Curry or Thompson. You know, he's going to be out on KD. But I think it would have been a tighter series. I really don't think Golden State would have ran away with this one because, you know, you've got – look at what Ibaka did last game. The guy comes out of nowhere off the bench, puts up 20 points, and only misses one shot from the field. You know, and, you know, granted, he's more of your interior post player, but the thing is Golden State didn't have an answer for it. You know, like their interior guys could not stop him, whether it was off a dribble or just somebody dumping it into him. And then, he took one of those smart mid-range shots or just took it to the hole. Golden State just doesn't have the answers for what Toronto's doing offensively that they had 2 or 3 years ago against the Cavs and LeBron. You know, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. But Toronto's they've got a deep team. Maybe not the deepest we've seen, but I mean, these guys, like, Toronto plays good team basketball. And then when you factor in that guys like Siakam are playing out of their mind, you got Van Vliet, who's, you know, been playing great basketball. Ibaka's coming off the bench playing well. And then, you know, you still have Kyle Lowry, you know, on that team. So, I mean, Toronto's got a good squad. You know, I don't think this would have been a walkover, but I think it would have been a lot closer.
It's amazing how quickly things slipped to the back of everybody's mind. Like, we went into this off season and into the season, and people were upset. We can't believe that, you know, they fired their coach. You know, if it went for Cleveland, you know, this, that, and the other, I can't believe they got rid of DeRozan. You know, what he has done for the organization, and, you know, those are conversations that are no longer even a thought of anymore. That was such a I can't believe this happened in the off season conversation, and that Toronto was just messing up and everything else, and here we are one game away from them manhandling the team that's manhandled everybody for the last 5 years or 4 or 5 years, except for that one turnaround that Cleveland, you know, I don't know, Draymond Green getting suspended. Would it change anything or not? You know, so they still won two other games outside of that game five that he was suspended. But it just blows my mind that was such a, oh, no, I can't believe Toronto did this to you. Nobody even thinks about that, what they did in the offseason now.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is their GM was kind of an outside-the-box hire when he was hired, Masai Ujiri. And he's kind of marched to his own beat, but for the most part, when you look at what he's done since he's taken over, it's been like he's got way more hits than he's got misses. You know, like you said, people thought it was crazy for firing Dwayne Casey. But obviously Dwayne Casey was one of the, like, he was, if it, the best way I can really put it is he's Mark Jackson. You know, look at what Mark Jackson did with the Warriors. He gets fired the next year, they win a title. You know, mm-hmm. Steve Kerr. You know, I mean, he was that guy. He was going to get him to a certain point, and I just didn't think he had, you know, the scheme to utilize these players in the right way to get him over the hump and get him into the finals, you know. So, I mean, I think Ujiri saw that, and he said, okay, I got to make a change. You know, I mean, who really saw Toronto pulling out the Kawhi trade?
Yeah.
that was not a team that, I mean, I even remember reading about as one of the main runners to pull Kawhi. And, you know, I think he's really integrated himself in this team seamlessly, because these guys just, you know, Toronto's played great basketball all year, and they've only gotten better as the year went on. And then they hit the playoffs and just, I mean, they've played outstanding basketball. So, I mean, that whole franchise is pretty well run. And, you know, like you were saying, I honestly, win or lose, I don't think Kawhi can really just walk away from Toronto the way everybody seems to think he's going to.
Yeah, I don't see them. Don't say we both agree on that. There's only been one team to come back from 3-1, and that was a LeBron-led Cleveland Cavaliers team. So this would only be the second time in the history that for it to happen, so I don't count on it happening. God, that was another point that I wanted to feed off of what you said. I just lost my train of thought. What was it? Talking about the trade, that's what it was. Another thing about the whole trade was that took a lot of balls to do, because you knew getting Kawhi, there was a good possibility this was going to be a one-year thing, and that was it. You know, Kawhi was pretty, you know, vocal about his dissatisfaction, where he was at. He wanted to be out west. You knew going into this that what you were giving up and what you were investing in may just be a one-year thing, and then you're going to have to figure something else out or reset or whatever. So to go ahead and pull the trigger on that and take that chance, that said a lot about that front office and the chances that they were willing to take for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things, strike while the iron's hot. You got the opportunity, bring him in. You know, I thought that the Marc Gasol trade at the trade deadline was smart, because maybe Gasol isn't the guy he was, you know, those early years in Memphis, but he's still a guy who can grab rebounds and, you know, stretch the floor a bit, because he can hit that outside shot. He's also a good passing big. So, I mean, that's only going to help that team. When you think about, you know, moving the ball in and out to get those open deep shots. So, I mean, Ujiri is a smart dude. I agree with you completely. Pulling the trigger was really ballsy. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, like you said, he was this West Coast dude. He wanted to be in California. He was going to the Clippers. He was going to the Lakers. You know, he was going to L.A., you know, that was a foregone conclusion. And then next thing you know, he's north of the border in Toronto. You know, I mean,
now, I'm watching this on Sling TV. I know that it was a few seconds behind. I'm not sure if it's still a few seconds behind. Chart, Golden State is up 39-34, but I'm at the point of the game, just kind of giving an update, where KD was just assisted off the court, headed back to the locker room, where he re-injured or retweaked whatever injury he had. So the KD night might have just ended. I'm not sure would that be immune and how serious it was. Doesn't look like he was feeling very good about whatever pain he had going on. So while we're still on, we'll try to keep everybody updated as well. In talking earlier, you had kind of broke some news that I didn't know. Like I said, with everything going on work-wise, I really need a TV where I'm at. I'm trying to keep up with everything. I did see a little bit. I was at ATA on Monday night. I didn't get a play. They kind of pushed me back behind somebody, and so I didn't get an opportunity to play tonight. But I was watching the TV. They did talk a little bit about it. Just couldn't hear it. But David Ortiz, botched robbery or something, or foregoat or whatever. What do you know about that, and what can you tell us what happened there?
From what I've dug up and read, apparently it was police have suspects in custody, but everything that's being reported saying it was a botched robbery or botched robbery, or just somebody was actually trying to kill him. Which I find, like, nuts, because David Ortiz is probably one of the most likable guys to swing a bat in the last 30 years, you know. I know that once they stabilized him, the Red Sox sent a plane down to the Dominican Republic to bring him back to Boston. And so he's already back up in the U.S., I guess, continuing his treatment for that. But he was, I guess, shot in the back, which, you know, that's a pretty nasty wound, depending on where it hits and what they utilize, you know, how big of a round hit him. So, I mean, I can only hope, you know, that he recovers quickly and that he's all right. And I just, like I said, I can't believe anybody would want to shoot David Ortiz, man. That's just crazy to me.
It is. Very likable person, like you said. And I tell you what, I think the whole United States kind of had his back. And I think gained a different respect for him and a certain amount of love for him when he was very vocal after the Boston Marathon bombing going on and the things he had to say. It is. One more thing that I definitely want to jump into, and I don't know if you had anything else that you wanted to get into, but I know in conversation last night you did catch Game 6, which we're going to have a Game 7 tomorrow, Wednesday night, so hockey fans are going to be loving this, and especially the two teams at that. But we're going to have a Game 7 for the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Have you kept up with the entire series last night?
I'll tell you right now, Boston in game 5 looked flat, and they were playing not to win. They were just playing not to lose. They weren't playing to win that game, and it showed. And then you look at what happened last night. They went out guns blazing, really aggressive. They stopped making those huge, long cross-ice passes through the neutral zone. You know, they were making that extra pass. They picked apart Bennington. They scored an empty net goal to give them their fifth. But, I mean, they put four up on Bennington, who had been a stonewall in you know, last few games. So, I mean, it's Boston, I mean, momentum-wise, has it right now. And the thing is, especially, they're heading back to Boston, you know, for Game 7. So, it's going to be one hell of a game. I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I don't have a dog in the fight, you know, as far as hockey goes. But, I mean, this series just – it's been nonstop. And then they just keep flip-flopping wins. And then, you know but, I mean, Boston came out on all – firing on all cylinders last night. It was something else. I mean, especially when you got Zdeno Chara, whose jaw is just a big bowl of mush at this point. And he's just – he's still out there – you know, throwing his entire body around, just destroying folks. So, I mean, I think that's what I love most about hockey. You got this dude, you know, whose jaw is fused together right now, and which would put any of us out for quite a while. And he's out there playing, you know, good defensive hockey and just smashing people along the boards. you're not going to get that anywhere else, really.
No. great series, yes, back and forth. It's. I tell you what, I can only imagine what it's like to be either one of these teams. I know what it was like for me in watching the Cavaliers come back 3-1, and it wasn't even a back and forth. It was just having to work their way back. But to be, I'm one of those that, as much as I want my team to kill somebody and be done and over with, at the same time, I want a close, interesting series or game. So I always have mixed feelings about games and series, because I want my team to just get it over with, so I ain't got to be on the edge of my seat and nervous and everything else. But at the same time, I'm not into watching lopsided series or games as well. So I'm always an emotional basket case when it comes to different series and different games like this.
Oh yeah, especially being Cavs fans, you know, like our highs are you know, they're contested the entire time. You know, we can never just get a four game sweep. You know, we have to go 7. I mean, I was pretty surprised. I don't think it was just KD that went off. I think Iguodala went off as well, because I don't see him on the bench or on the floor. So, I mean, they could be down two pretty pivotal guys right now.
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind. He's on the court right now. I just watched DeMarcus Cousins hit the three-pointer, so I don't know how far I'm actually behind. But I have a 46-37 game. I know it was a few seconds behind at some point. So I don't complain about it. I don't necessarily get every channel, but I do pay for the extra packages. I have a gazillion sports channels, and I get to watch it on my phone and the computer and everything else, so I never complain about Sling TV because I can watch it anywhere. And as a matter of fact, my son lives with his mother and log in, so he gets to watch cable for free and everything else. But I know, like, especially when Izzo and myself, especially with Columbus Blue Jackets, were still in, I've been like, okay, you got to give me a few seconds before you say anything, because I'm a little bit behind you guys. So kind of take the good with the bad on that one. Was there any other topics that you knew or thought off the top of your head that you wanted to touch on or get into? I know that we were supposed to get in touch a little bit more today, but for those that since you weren't here earlier, you were doing things. Thursday, we had somebody at my location, OD, and so it was kind of a hectic Thursday. I gave my assistant off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then to turn around in the first 30 minutes of being back today, a guy walks away from the counter, and as he does, he passes out and takes out my 12-pack display and then gets back up after we told him to stay down and passes back out again. So it's kind of been an eventful day. So between that and truck order and everything else, it's kind of – and reception's down bad at that part of town. And so that's why I tried to get to you around 6 o'clock, and then just things kept – trickling. So I know we didn't get a lot of topics amongst ourselves. I didn't know if it was anything else that you had seen throughout the day or over the weekend that you wanted to touch on while you were on with us tonight.
Well, North Carolina specific, looks like Cam Newton is going to open up summer practices being able to throw. I mean, I would not be surprised if he took a lot of days, you know, off in between heavy throwing sessions, because I don't know if you are aware of what exactly his surgery was. They took out a pin and a couple screws that was put in before in a previous surgery. I think it was pretty smart by the Panthers to draft Will Greer as a kind of backup, you know, just in case emergency, plan in case something does happen to Cam, because I don't know about if you've, you know, really read up on their offensive line. It's still not really that great, even after getting rid of one of the Khalil brothers. I think Cam's going to have a rough time staying upright next year, which is, you know, kind of unfortunate, because injuries are going to start, you know, they've started taking their toll on him. You know, if let's face it, the Panthers go as Cam does. You know, mm-hmm. So I mean, it's. I think the Panthers have an interesting off. You know, summer practice going to the preseason coming up, because you know they still are weak at receiver. I mean, they do have McCaffrey, who apparently is a 5'9" or 10" Hulk now. There's just not a lot of talent. On the receiving part of that offense or on that offensive line. So, the Panthers are going to have to do something. Like when they make roster cuts, you know, bring in some more offensive line help, maybe some wide receiver help. But, you know, I'm really interested to see how the Panthers handle his practice workload going into the season.
Well, be definitely interesting. For those that know me, I'm not a big Cam fan. Never been a Cam Newton fan. But I'm also, we might have talked about this. I think we did talk about this. I am more of the traditional quarterback. I'm more of the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's. The reason why they hardly ever get hurt or ever really got hurt, they tend to just get rid of the ball and live to see the next down versus trying to use their leg to do so much more. And to me, that's the reason why your Newtons and your Vicks and everybody else are hurt. Oh, there was one other thing, talk about football, that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Carson Wentz seems to get paid very wealthy and has not really done much.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy. $107 million guaranteed over 4 years for a guy, I think, who's only played the entire season once. And if I recall, he hasn't played in a playoff yet. You know, and his team's been there every single year, you know. So, I mean, I get it. You want to sign and lock in those young quarterbacks. But like Wentz, if memory serves, that first chunk of time he missed was like an elbow issue or a shoulder, and then last year, it was, you know, a couple broken bones in his back. You know, so like the guy, you know, these aren't just like little, like I twisted my ankle, you know, turf toe. Yeah. These are kind of big deals, you know, and those accumulate over time. And I don't know. I don't see him as a $107 million quarterback over 4 years. I just don't.
No. You're injury prone. You've not proven anything. Your Super Bowl run was Nick Foles. And even last year, the run that they didn't make, that was Nick Foles as well. And you let him go, which, you know, I understand you've got to make some kind of decision, but I don't know. Nick Foles to me seemed like the quarterback. I mean, he came back to y'all. He seemed like the type of guy that, yes, I would. He just seemed to me that he would be kind of the loyal guy. Like, okay, I know that I could go to Jacksonville, get this X amount of dollars, but as long as you give me this X amount of dollars, I'm willing to continue doing my role here. This is where I want to be. This is the team I want to play for. This is the team that gave me, you know, an opportunity to win a Super Bowl kind of guy. He just doesn't seem like the guy that's, okay, I'm going to go play for them because I want to make this amount of dollars. And so you let him walk and you throw out all this money to a guy that can't stay on the field. And now you really don't have a backup plan and you've invested all this money into someone that's not proven anything. That from the reports that I've heard and seen, you know, he's not the easiest player to coach. Nick Foles, from all the reports I saw, was more willing to adapt and learn and everything else. And from the players' aspect, like I say, they didn't like Carson Wentz, but he's not been the most likable quarterback as well. So, I don't know, just kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, Philly, you know, that's another weird team. You know, they won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and then, you know, they haven't really gotten better at the running back position. You know, their wideouts are average. You know, and that offensive line, again, it's if your quarterback's constantly on his back, you know, and he's always hurt year in, year out, and you constantly have to go to the super backup, you know, that is Nick Foles, you know, that's an indictment on your offensive line play. And the thing is, the Eagles just made a $158 million, up to $158 million investment into Carson Wentz over 4 years. Well, dude, you're going to have to put blockers in front of him that are going to keep him upright. Otherwise, you are not going to get your $158 million or at worst your $107 million out of him. You know,
yeah.
So it, you know, these teams, like, I think that's what really surprises me, you know, with the Russell Wilson deal. Like, that guy's been running for his life, you know, since Pete Carroll decided that he was going to pass it on the goal line and have Malcolm Butler, you know, intercept the ball. But he's been running for his life to try to survive. And then you've got, you know, some of these other quarterbacks. Like, they're huge, huge money deals, but they're not putting the offensive lineman in front of them to kind of keep him upright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you kind of gain more and more respect for someone like Tom Brady and says, you know what, I'm willing to take a little bit less money. You make sure that I'm protected, and we'll go from there. So, and that would be me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but I know what my value could be, but why no? Like, that's more one of the things that I have a lot of respect for Brady, because I would be the same way. Like, go ahead and spend some of that money. Let me live to see another year. Let me be able to play to 45 and have rings covering both my fingers and everything else and date a supermodel because you guys protect me and I'm able to play for 6,000 years in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think what also helps the Patriots a lot is that they've got Dante Scarnecchia, who is the greatest offensive line coach ever. And, like, dude, if you and I, you know, spend a year training, he might be able to get us onto, like, an Arena League team. He's that good of a coach, you know? Like, he can coach anybody, and he gets them prepped. And like you said, you know, Brady's had a pretty revolving door on the offensive line in front of him. And he's only lost one season to injury, just one, and that was that year Matt Castle went 10-6. It helps having that kind of coaching and that kind of coaching continuity, which, you know, most of the NFL, you know, they don't have. But you're absolutely right. You know, those star players that take a little less, so they can apply that money to other positions. You know, to keep those Brady's on their feet, you know, the Breezes, yeah, all those guys. So, I mean, it goes a long way. You know, so,
not,
I mean, I,
what
I, would, I think we're really – yeah, yeah, you know, I mean, we've kind of seen Drew Brees go away from that the last few years because he's – I think his cap hit last year was 31, 32 million, you know, after taking, like, those 17, 18 a year deals for – you know, all those years, but he's, you know, trying to get a couple extra bucks out of it because he knows, like, you know, the end of his, you know, his career is going to be done soon. So,
yeah. I think he felt that he made enough sacrifices that this is about it, which is going to hurt him because they have a team right there that, you know, obviously they kind of got screwed, but they have a team that's right there and could potentially win a championship. And you don't be greedy now when you have a team that you have. It could finish out on top. You know, Drew Brees is a very likable person. He kind of became the face of that whole area, especially winning the Super Bowl after Katrina and everything. And I don't know. This is not the time to be greedy. This is the time to go ahead and try to go out on top. You're running out of time. Was there anything else that we didn't cover that you wanted to cover?
No, man, I'm good right now. It looks like, I don't know if you've been watching, Golden State. Look, got a 9-point lead, and it's starting to get really chippy out there.
Yeah, I see that. Especially with Draymond Green in there, what just went on a few minutes ago. I'm about the 3.5-minute mark with a 9-point lead. So, yeah, we must be about the same point, but, yeah. Things are getting a little chippy out there. So this second half is going to be really interesting. Mike, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. Hopefully we get to do this again and often. I always love having somebody on with me. Kind of miss the days of having different, you know, having my co-host. So looking forward to having you back. Also looking forward to seeing more things come out on the site. If I'm not mistaken, you said there was some more that Miss Lee's got to work on editing and stuff, so looking forward to that as well. But definitely want to thank you for joining us, being part of the 110 Nation and joining the show. And make sure you guys go check out his work over there at www.the110nationsports.com. And make sure that you guys catch up with them social media-wise. And I'm sure that he's anything like the rest of us. You guys can pick his brain and jab at him all day long talking sports. I know the first time that I got an opportunity to sit down with him, we sat down and talked sports for an hour. So I know how easily we can get wrapped up into it. And so looking forward to getting you back on here, Mike, and doing this again and often. Thank you for joining me tonight, and we'll catch up again here real soon.
All right, man. Thank you so much. You guys have a good night.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, right here, back on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Make sure you guys tune in. Izzo will be joining me at 9:30 to get you guys all ready for Wednesday night's game between the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins. Don't forget, Wednesday night, I will be back in here at 9 o'clock, and I think Dran is definitely done for the night. And, of course, Wednesday or Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Race Chat Live, Chris and Craig. Make sure you guys don't miss that. I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus, Fit for Life. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow, so I got to thank them. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. And check out the site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. We'll be working on some stuff, getting the site all updated. I know a couple of banners are missing, like the Carolina Sports Plus and the Fit for Life one. A couple other things are missing. I'm not sure. I know there were some updates, and so I got to fix some things. I've got some focus and some things I got to take care of. So don't be surprised if I decide to go ahead and type up some things and give Miss Lee's editing approval. We all know I'm horrible at writing. I just got in the conversation with Brandy. And we were talking about adverbs and adjectives. And look, I don't know the difference. There's a reason why I don't write. I know what a noun is, but English class was not my thing. Math class, I can sleep through an eight. Like, I love math. Numbers, and y'all know that. I'm all about some numbers, some stats, and everything else. But when it comes to writing and writing properly, that's not really my forte. So it takes a lot of work and a lot of editing for my articles to hit the airwaves there, the mainstream, whatever you want to call it. But definitely want to thank Mike, once again, not only for joining the show tonight, and looking forward to having him back on, but also being part of the 110 Nation. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Or, no, I'm sorry, 9 o'clock. Don't miss out. Till then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.